In el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, del Espíritu Santo. This Mass is offered particularly for the repose of the soul of our sister Barbara Lopez. Barbara Lopez, for the repose of her soul. I do ask that you would continue to keep in prayer Carlos Hernandez, Pauline's husband, who's in the latter stages of cancer right now. And so she's going to be leaving us to go be with him and with the family in California. I'm sure most of you already know what that is, but just in case you haven't heard it yet, since I wasn't here yesterday and don't know, keep that in prayer. Keep her in prayer with those intentions. Now today, we had the reading from Job. You got that reading from Job. It's from the first chapter of Job. We all know the story of Holy Job, and the gospel is all about what happens right after the disciples are discoursing, saying, who's going to be the greatest? I'm going to be the greatest. I'm going to be the best. And Jesus puts them in their place, just in case you didn't understand the reading there. What I want to share with you is those disciples, what they're arguing. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. What they're really saying is, what makes a man great? What makes a great man? What makes somebody big and worthy of importance? What makes a man worthy of importance? What do we know? We know that God is great. That God is good. Remember, isn't that the prayer that you prayed as a little kid? God is great. God is good. God, we thank you for our food. Well, there's truth in that. God is great. God is great because the one who possesses God, one who holds God, the one who takes God into himself, that person is really somebody who has a great soul, a big soul. And the one who has God greater or to a greater degree, to a greater extent, that's the greatest person. The one who possesses God the most or the best in the greatest quality, that's the greatest person. This is the degree to which one attains to the life of charity. What do we know from the letter of St. John? Letter of St. John at the very end, right before the book of the Apocalypse, the end of the Bible, it says, we know one what God is. God is love. God is charity. And so the one who possesses charity within his soul possesses God. Blessed Duns Scotus, one of the great philosophers of the Church of Franciscan, said basically these arguments are all the same thing. Greatness and godliness and possessing God and possessing charity, they're all the same thing. All the same thing. This is how the argument really should have been going. Rather, what they were doing was they were arguing about who was going to be in charge, who should be looked up to in this way. But our Lord, what he always does, and what I try to constantly refer to, is he never asks the question of a difficulty that people are asking. He goes deeper and further beyond in a way that turns everything on its head. He gives an answer that nobody expects. He brings that little niño over there. I think of your son over there, little Angel Gabriel. I think of him being placed on a knee. Every time I read this, I think of him. He turns it on his head and he says what? Our Lord says, the least is the greatest. The one who's the smallest is the greatest. It's something we hear a lot, but what does it mean? It's because the one who is most humble, he's the greatest. Why? Because he's better able to receive God into his person. Because he's made himself low, he's better able to receive who God is. Because what does the humble person realize? That there's less of me filling me than I think there is. I have less of me that I'm reaching after. I have less disordered attachments that I'm pursuing. I have less of things that are contrary to what could take up God's space. But rather, I allow myself to be an empty vessel for God to fill with his very presence. Humility, what it does, is it makes you and me a fitting empty vessel, ready for God to freely move in and to lead and to guide from that. That's what our Lord is really after here in saying this. So where do we see that? We see that in the first reading of Job. Holy Job. What happens to him? God humbles Holy Job. All these manner of evil things hit him. He loses wealth. He loses family. He loses everything that he possesses, these things which he holds so dear. All of it is taken away from him. And what God is really doing, because he guides all things, he doesn't will evil to happen to people, but he wills that he can turn good out of the evil that exists right there, out of the evil that befalls, and says, this can serve me even then. And he allows him to be emptied of everything that he would be attached to other than God alone. And what happens? What does Job do? Remember, Cynthia? So what happens? Job, what does he do? It says that he tears his clothes. He puts on sackcloth. He puts ashes on his head. He cuts all of his hair off in mourning. He lays himself prostrate down to the earth, down to the humus. That's what he says, humble, to low. And then he cries out to God, and what does he say? Famous words that all of us need to say over and over again in every difficulty. If you do it, you'll be a little more humble and a little better able to receive God. It says what? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. It says, I get it. I understand. But God does. Bless him in everything. And that's a heart that is truly humble. This is what allows him to be stripped of everything so he can just cling to God in that moment. He says, well, you can take everything away from me, but God, you're greater than me. You know. You haven't been taken from me. That's enough. Job responds well and blesses the Lord in that. And so the movement for us is to ask for that very same humility of our souls so that we can really be great. By allowing ourselves to be made low, to be made into nothing, that we can actually have a greater space to hold the greatness that is God. That's what real greatness is. And if you and I don't have it, I know I don't have it fully. Maybe you don't either. Where do we get it? When we come to Holy Communion, isn't there that opportunity to just lay ourselves out before the Lord? To receive him humbly like the publican upon our knees, to receive him lowly like a sinner in that way. That's one way of making ourselves a little bit more humble, allowing the greatness of God, which is found in the Eucharist, to fill us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.